what other people say about you? I hope not. Like, I'm at an age where I'm not really up on all the how to do social media. I know it can be used for the good, but I have heard about, you know, I guess there's something where you can be somebody's friend or you can defriend people, whatever it is, there's something out there like that. I mean, is my identity based on how many friends on whatever social media are there? Or if somebody defriends me, is my life destroyed? They defriended me. My life's over. Really? Or, you know, my novice master, when I was being prepared to enter the religious life, you know, God rest his soul, Father Santan Pinto, big Indian Jesuit, former Jesuit, he said, if somebody calls you a chicken, are you going to start walking around acting like a chicken? Cluck, 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 cluck. You know, I mean, is our identity based on what other people say about us? Or do you know that you're a child of God? Jesus knew who he was, and his confidence in the Father gave him the victories. You must know who you are. As a matter of fact, that was the one piece of advice I received from Father Paul Hu. His last name, he was from China, the underground church in China in Beijing. His last name was spelled H-U, Hu. But his one main piece of advice to everybody was always, know who you are. It was so perfect. You know who you are. Know who you are. You're God's child. You are not what you do. You are not what people say about you, and you are not what you have, the kingdoms of the world. That is not your identity. Your identity is that you are sons and daughters of God, and then you will have the victory. Jesus, by going into the desert, gives us those victories he has. So again, I want you to see the journey of Lent as receiving all kinds of gifts. The gift of being able to join Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, that's a gift to deepen your oneness with Jesus. The gift of obedience to the Father, that's a gift. The gift of overcoming temptations, having the victory in Christ to know who you are and not fall into the traps of the evil one, that's a gift. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are gifts. I'm going to talk to you about why are we doing prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? Because when Jesus went to the desert, what did he do? He prayed, he fasted, and he also gave alms. What are the alms? Well, I already talked about it. He gave us obedience, he gave us humility, he gave us many virtues, he gave us victories over the evil one, he lessened the power of sin. If you stay in him. But the ultimate almsgiving is right there on the cross. If you want to know what real almsgiving is, Jesus gave us all of himself on the cross. And that's where we're going. Lent is leading to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, after Holy Thursday, where he gives us himself in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is almsgiving. Talk about almsgiving. Giving somebody $20 in need is good. Spending time with them is better. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that the greatest suffering in the world is isolation and loneliness. It's worse than hunger, material poverty. She worked with all kinds of people, but working with those who feel nobody cares about them, nobody loves them, nobody wants them, that's tremendous suffering. There's the story of Mother Teresa in London going up to a poor man up against a building just trying to stay warm. And she went out there and she offered her hand to him. And he accepted her hand and he said that's the first human touch he's had in 3 years. That's almsgiving. That's almsgiving, spending time with people, learning to listen to their heart. husbands and wives, family members, listening to the heart of the other. So the ultimate almsgiving, though, is Jesus on the cross. So let me talk about the gifts of prayer, fasting, almsgiving as I talk about the overview of the holy season of Lent. Prayer, I look at that as a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I never separate the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit. St. Paul, who went to the third heaven, you know, St. Paul went to the third heaven, right? All these extraordinary revelations. He even says, basically, I don't even know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays in me with groaning and longings too deep to understand. Because the Holy Spirit understands the deep things of God. You know how our spirit understands the deep things of ourselves? All of us, there's things in us that only we know, right? That are way down deep in there that only we know. And in fact, there's things about us that we don't even know. The Holy Spirit knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And so what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit takes the deep things of God and the deep things of ourselves and unites them, and that's true prayer. And as I said, I'll get a little bit to developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit as I unfold this opening conference. But I look at prayer as a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'll teach you how to go into the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. How do you understand the Word of God? By the Holy Spirit. He's the one who helps you understand the revelation. So prayer is a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed in the Holy Spirit to the Father. Fasting, I look at that as a relationship with God the Father. Why do I say that? Because the ultimate fasting is fasting from my own will to do the will of God. That's the hardest fasting, right? Right? You know, Lord, you want me to do that? Hey, I'll sleep on this wood floor for 40 days. No pillow, no blanket. I'll live on bread and water 40 days. But you want me to go talk to that one? Lord. I'll even give up the bread. I'll try to do it just on water. You want me to talk to that one? You want me to love that one? Yes. Giving up our will to do the will of the Father. I'm going to go into a lot of areas of fasting and feasting. You always have the positive side of it. You give up your will to do the will of the Father. Almsgiving, as I said, is really Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us himself in the Eucharist. Jesus Christ gives himself to us on the cross. Jesus Christ gives us who else from the cross? He gives us his own mother. He gives us the church. He gives us the priesthood. He gives us each other. Jesus is all about almsgiving, mercy. That's the ultimate almsgiving, right? So prayer, fasting, almsgiving are gifts. I'll make it simple. Prayer, it's all about love. Everything is about love. Prayer is about love of God. And it could go into love of neighbor if I'm praying for my neighbor, but love of God. Almsgiving or mercy is about love of neighbor. Fasting is about getting rid of my disordered self-love so I can really love God and love my neighbor. You understand what I just said? It's all about love. Prayer is about love of God. Almsgiving is about love of neighbor. But what gets in the way of love of God and love of neighbor? Me. I like to sometimes make words out of, I make words that are, you know, acronyms so that I can remember them. Because I have to work on being detached or purified from my own will, my own judgments, my own opinions, my own pride, my own ego, my own disordered self-love. And I have come to realize that my will throws mud on the will of God, the great works of God. I get muddy whenever I put my will in there. And mud stands for this for me. My will is mean, ugly, and destructive. When I assert my will, I'm a Detroit boy. I'm strong. I'm intense. I'm a choleric, you know, and I get in there and I'm going to, you know, do this work in the name of God. And instead, I throw mud on it. Sometimes, you know, I can think that I'm doing something good and I'm destroying a relationship. But if I fast from self, it's amazing how when I get out of the way, I can love God and love my neighbor. So prayer, fasting, almsgiving are also gifts. So if you already started to see some of the gifts, you know, this is Laetare Sunday. It's all about gifts. The holy season of Lent is a gift. I get to join Jesus in the desert, led by the Holy Spirit. I get the gift of obedience and humility. And all kinds of virtues. I get the victories of Christ over the enemy. I learn about the power of the Word of God to overcome the enemy. I learn that my identity is as a child of God. It's not in what I do. It's not in what people say about me. It's not in what I have. All of that is given to me during the holy season of Lent. I'm given the gifts of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to love. So many gifts. To learn to be plugged into the liturgy is so important. And I want to go through where we've been and where we're going, but let's take today's liturgy. You know, you were here for the Mass, or most of you were. I mean, so liturgy is life. The Holy Spirit's going to work in that liturgy all week long. What's going to happen in your lives this week? God is going to show you some area where you're blind so that you may see with the eyes of faith. He wants you to come to the point of being able to read other people's hearts, to listen to their heart. It's very important to listen to the heart. A homeschool mom of 8 children, I know very well. I know many here too, but this one's out in Tulsa area, Oklahoma. She taught me a great lesson. She said her little daughter was, you know, making a little tantrum, screaming and making all kinds of noise and crying and saying this and saying that. But she was able to read her child's heart, and she just said to her child, she said, "Do you need some loving?" And the little girl goes, "Yes." And so she picks up the little child, and that was it. What are people really communicating? Are you listening from the heart? My sister, Mary Michelle, gave me some of the best advice I've ever received. It's really helped my priesthood tremendously. She said this, "Zach," she can call me that, I'm her brother, "Zach, women don't need you to solve their problems." I couldn't believe I even heard that. Like, really? I mean, that's what I do. I was a former attorney. I solve problems. I fix things. That's what I do. You know, men, you know, if the car engine isn't working, we go in the car engine and we fix the car engine, you know, whatever. You know, that's what we do. I fix it. So, Michelle, what are you saying? Women don't need me to solve their problems. She goes, "Yeah, Zach." She goes, "Have you ever watched women? They like go to the bathroom together. And it's not like, you know, for any other reason, but, you know, they listen to each other and they're supporting each other and they're there for each other. And there's many things that are being said, but you have to learn to listen to what they're really saying, what they're really communicating. Like, you know, I mean, I don't need to go into the whole example, but, you know, Julie goes to the store and she meets Katie, and Julie says, "Oh, you know, I went to the store today because, you know, the children this morning didn't have enough milk and I had to come here and get milk for the children. But, you know, on the way, my husband, you know, he was having a difficult day at work, but, you know, we talked about that and he went off to work and, you know, I want you to pray for him. But then I ran into, Mary, and Mary started telling me about some of the problems that she was having with, Joey in their relationship. And, you know, and you got to listen. What's really being communicated? You know, all these different concerns. A woman is communicating all these concerns if you're listening carefully to what they're saying, right? So my sister said that women just need you to listen to them. So I went, okay, I'll try it. And the next time a woman came into my office, you know, the priest, and I'm just listening. And, you know, we start with a prayer, of course, and I'm listening. And I'm really trying to listen to the heart, you know, what's really being communicated. Because remember the first reading today, God sees the heart, not the appearance, right? So listening to the heart. Women can teach us a lot about that. Blessed Virgin Mary can teach you about that. And so I was listening, and so, you know, I'm listening, and time's going on, and I try to keep it limited to 45 minutes, not because it just, you know, there's a lot of reasons to keep it limited to 45 minutes, but at the end, I just said a few words, you know, and I go, so what I hear you saying is this, and, you know, what I would recommend is, you know, that God, you know, directs you to this, and they, oh, Father, thank you for understanding me. You know, you really got a great listening ear. You've been so helpful. Oh, you really understand women. You know, I let my sister know, wow, Michelle, it works, you know. So next thing you know, now I'm like the priest who really understands women, you know. But to really listen, it's so beautiful when you listen to what people are really communicating. That's what we need to learn to do, and that's only through silence. I'll teach you more about silence tomorrow with prayer. Mother Teresa of Calcutta says the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. So we'll go into silence, but listening. So have you been listening to the Holy Spirit? Okay. In the handout, I have this little teaching. You don't have to look at it right now, but on being led by the Holy Spirit, L-E-D, again, like I like to use letters, to be led. I got this from Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, and there's a lot of things you can put for the L there, the E, and the D. But L stands for to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, really to listen. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he speaks in that little gentle voice. You heard it, you know, in the Old Testament when when God appeared to Elijah, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the big fire, he wasn't in the big wind, he was in the small whispering voice. The Holy Spirit speaks to all of us at all times if we're listening. And you know those little inspirations that take place. You know what you need to do. But how many times do we override the Holy Spirit? And if you get in the habit of overriding the Holy Spirit, he's just going to leave you to yourself till you open yourself up. So I share the story of the man. This is just a little story, a parable. Of the man who met with his spiritual director to determine, you know, how he should live a program for the holy season of Lent. And in the area of fasting, the spiritual director and the man agreed that the man should give up donuts for Lent because he was overweight, he was diabetic, and he was too attached to donuts, right? So it was discerned in the Holy Spirit he should give up donuts. Well, 3.5 weeks into Lent, the man came to the priest, his spiritual director, and he said, Father, you know, I have to, you know, confess that I ate donuts. And, you know, the priest, you know, being gentle and a father, understood, you know, sometimes we fall, just okay, you know, keep going forward, keep going forward. The man said, no, Father, you don't understand. Father, I ate donuts because the Holy Spirit told me to eat donuts.